You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. No doubt you are hearing and reading a lot about Russia these days. Negotiations with the U.S. government, involvement in Syria, and of course the questions about our election. President Trump himself has taken a relatively harsher tone toward Russia, but this is an incredibly complicated geopolitical and economic relationship. So how to think about all of it? Matthew Rojanski is director of the Kennan Institute at the Wilson Center. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So let's say you're in the White House. What are you thinking slash doing towards Russia in this coming week?
Well, you know, challenge number one with Russia, and there are, of course, many, many challenges. The president said that the relationship is, you know, at the worst point that it's been. And I think that that's true.
I assume we mean accepting the Cold War.
Correct. Right. Okay. But I think it's fair to say that there are aspects of the situation today that are worse than, you know, some of the Cold War years. Certainly, you know, Gorbachev was a lot friendlier than Putin is now. And so we are dealing definitely with a very challenging authoritarian, revanchist, but also expansionist Russia that has learned to throw its weight around globally. And so I think the challenge in the coming week is the same as the underlying challenge all along, which is, look, this is a country we can't go to war with because the reality of a direct conflict between the United States and Russia is that it destroys the world. These are the world's two largest nuclear powers. Russia is the only country that has the ability to destroy life as we know it in the United States in under an hour. So we have to find ways in which we can work with these folks, talk to them about the hard issues, which now includes, of course, our disagreements over Ukraine, but also Syria, maybe North Korea, where they may be able to be helpful, maybe not. And then there are some areas where we have, broadly speaking, some common interests, like counterterrorism. It doesn't make sense that we wouldn't be able to cooperate in that area, and yet it's very hard.
Well, is this a relationship where we're talking about pressure or inducements or some, you know, mixed basket of both?
Well, every relationship requires a carrot and a stick. We've had a lot of stick, or we've at least had the word stick. We've talked about pressure on Russia. But what hasn't happened is we haven't really moved Russia in terms of its policies at all in the last 3 years that we've had sanctions in place. That doesn't mean that you turn around and you offer only inducements, only, you know, positive incentives. I think you have to maintain pressure. But I think one of the things that the Russians are waiting to see is a signal of American seriousness, both in terms of toughness and resolve. So, for instance, we are now striking the Assad regime, which is something we haven't done until now, but we're still striking ISIS. That's good. That is definitely a kind of stronger platform from which to try to negotiate with the Russians. But the immediate objection that the Russians raised in the Tillerson-Lavrov summit was, okay, so what's your long-term vision for Syria? And that has been a real challenge for the United States, you know, across both administrations thus far. We need to develop a very serious, very clear vision for where we want Syria to go and demonstrate seriousness of purpose there. And then I think the Russians will take us seriously.
I'm going to paraphrase the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, who was caught at a diplomatic summit saying, why should U.S. taxpayers be interested in Ukraine? I want to pivot that gaffe, if you want to call it that, a little bit to the idea of why should a regular American be focused on this right now? How should, you know, someone at their dinner table try to make sense of what our relationship is with Russia right now?
The trick with Russia is that we have a whole lot of other interests at stake with Russia. Russia is not North Korea, right? This is not a country that we can simply say, well, there's just this one issue. We can isolate them over that issue. We can sanction them over that issue, and we can wait out the regime. The problem is we've got to deal with Russia on nuclear. We've got to deal with them on counterterrorism and counterproliferation of all kinds of WMD, including chemical weapons, and that's recently been an issue in Syria again. And we've got to deal with them on our bilateral relationship, right? I mean, this is the world's largest country. People forget, by the way, Russia is our third closest neighbor. I have a colleague at the Wilson Center who says the United States borders on Mexico, Canada, and fish. But, you know, third or fourth on that list, 3 miles away between Alaska and Chukotka, there's Russia.
I don't want to be alarmist in rhetoric, but I'm curious, like, at what point are we talking about, you know, Cold War politics again?
Well, I mean, we hear echoes of the Cold War, I think, in the way that a lot of Russians and Americans have talked about one another over the last several years. I think the panic and the paranoia about, you know, who spoke to the Russian ambassador when, you know, obviously I understand the context is a concern about Russian meddling in the American election, which is absolutely problematic.
Yeah.
And is being investigated. But, you know, look, I've talked to the Russian ambassador. You got to talk to the Russian ambassador. He's the ambassador of the world's biggest country. I think we need to balance between clear-eyed recognition that these people are not our friends. We are not in a friendly relationship. We are in a conflict with Russia. It's not a military conflict. So the other side of that balance is let's keep it not a military conflict. And so I think it's good. One of the results of the Tillerson-Putin meeting was Putin signaling that he will go back to the air safety agreement over Syria. The agreement's sort of more a technicality than anything, but it's a signal of Russia's intent not to do the kind of provocations, the kind of near misses in the air, at sea. This stuff is incredibly dangerous,
yeah.
Not because we wouldn't understand that it's an accident. Sure, we would understand it's an accident, but we're still going to have to go on high alert. The Russians are going to go on high alert. And again, remember, these are the world's two biggest nuclear powers. That's not a cliff you want to walk too close to.
Matt Rojanski, director of the Kennan Institute at the Wilson Center. As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Lizzie.